The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Four graded races from Haydock to look forward to. Obviously, Ascot does look in the balance at time of recording. There is a 6:30 inspection, but having seen Twitter today, it would appear that the ground is rock solid at the moment, and with the frost covers already down, not looking hopeful for Ascot. So we're going to look ahead to four races from Haydock tomorrow, starting with the 1:30. Of course, four grade twos from Haydock tomorrow. We start with the 1:30. That is a novices chase, grade two. A little bit over £18,000 to the winner. And it would appear that Politolog, who has been unbelievably good this season, of course, won at this track on his debut over the larger obstacles, then won over further at Ascot last month for us. And he's going to set a real good standard. You won't see a better jumping display than what we saw at Ascot last time. But he did seem to tire late on that occasion. The drop back in trip should be right up his street. But, of course, has to give weight away to the rest of the field.
Yeah, I suppose he did tire, you know, in a sense, but he was being so exuberant up until that point that it was wasn't a huge surprise to see him maybe fade a little bit, but it was that jumping that got him clear of Rock the Casbah. He made a couple of mistakes. Captain Chaos, who also had a little bit of a squeak on paper, never really got into it for the same reason. He only won by four lengths, but he was significantly better. Yeah. Than that distance, and he's handled this track and this ground, which I mean, you know, midwinter Haydock ground is certainly no easy task for horses experiencing it for the first time. He's likely to be very popular. As you said, he does have to give £3 to his rivals, but I wouldn't be getting overly worried about that. Bun Doran's also won here at the track. He handled horrible conditions as well to beat Vintage Clouds over hurdles at the start of last season. And he's another one who jumped very well and won again. He won by five lengths, but he was much better than that five-length margin. But the one that intrigued me a little bit was Wait Impatiently, who... you've got this... We were talking about North-South divide. Yeah. These kind of races... You Malcolm Jeffersons, you Nicky Richards, that kind of thing. They will come up against Southern Yards and they'll run well up to a point and maybe not quite live up to it. But Wait Impatiently, he's won with any amount in hand himself on his last couple of starts. He steps up in trip, but he's not been extended in any way, shape,
is
or form.
Is the worry that he's got a sort of a cloudy dream, sort of unexposed, wins two races up north, then takes on a better horse and gets beat? Has he got that sort of profile? Because it's the first time they've put him in this company.
Yeah, he definitely has that kind of profile. However, I think there's real substance to his wins. So I think in contrast, where in the past you get horses like this that win easily but don't beat anything, I actually think he's beat as good as he's going to get.
But his speed figures, certainly from race form, suggest that he's not far behind Politolog at all. They give Politolog a 1.18 for that Ascot win, whereas Waiting Patiently got a 1.17 for winning at Newcastle. After that Newcastle win, Malcolm Jefferson said they're not going to overface him because he's only five going on six. This was last month, of course. So it's interesting to see that they've gone down the graded route now and decided to make hay while the sun shines, perhaps.
Interesting to see a big price, Andrew. How Maximizer goes. They bought him from France. I know Jim Gordon, the owner, he had it in France prior to this. He ran belting race at O'Toy. For Simon West in a listed hurdle, and was only beaten ahead by Partlight two starts back. Was obviously disappointing when we last saw him in the long distance hurdle at Newbury, but could you give him a chance, at any sort of chance at a big price, Andrew?
Well, he won at Haydock in Novice Hurdle Company a couple of years ago on his last visit here, and we've seen Simon West have a big price one go well in the bumper at Musselburgh on Friday afternoon, so yeah, I certainly wouldn't put you off. And you know, at this time of year, on this sort of ground, in this small field novice chases, there's always the possibility of an upset. All it takes is, you know, one to jump poorly, another not to handle the ground, and, you know, this one could sneak into the places. But I think I'm going to have to side with Politolog. that round of jumping in Ascot.
Oh, it's incredible.
Sticks firmly in the memory, and because the third Royal Vacation came out and won the Feltham, albeit luckily, next time out.
Yeah, it was sort of when, like when Masterminded won. I remember on his fencing debut, he just took the breath away with his
jumping. Remember Sprinter Sakura, I think it was Doncaster, wasn't it? First time over fences for that one. It was electric and didn't touch a twig.
Mm. Masterminded was Sandown, wasn't it? Remember rightly when it was when he really took the eye. So, yeah, Politolog is clearly the one to be. But I'm looking forward to seeing Waiting Patiently because I think he's a genuine contender. And as I said, that north south divide, there is a little bit inside you that wants you to.
Yeah, a bit for the north. Say exactly. Somebody was doing a northern racing preview for the chance it'd be over in 30 seconds, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Wouldn't be many to get excited about.
No, but Politolog for both the boys, but probably at the prices, you know, you could let him run at the price.
No, I'm going to be waiting patiently. I'm taking him. Yeah, yeah. Let's take him on.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Andrew, Politolog. But price, not for you.
I think his odds against is about 6 to 4.
6 to 4, 11 to 8, I think.
I think that's fair enough. I think odds against is a fair price.
Okay. So Andrew goes with Politolog. He's happy with the price. Roscoe, not so much. Next race is a novices hurdle. It is a grade 2, the 205. And we've got another really wide open race. It will look like Elgin is going to be the favourite here, Andrew. Has won its last two starts, won at Kempton, of course, beating Mahead last time we saw him by 3/4 of a length. And he comes from a very good yard and that of Alan King. But I'd be worried, the way he went that day, he was very keen. And will he get home here at Haydock on probably pretty heavy ground tomorrow?
Yeah, you would worry that was a sharp right-handed track on good ground, that Boxing Day win at Kempton. He has won on soft left-handed at Newcastle the time before, beating Dubai Angel into second. But again, he was described as taking a keen hold by the Racing Post that day. He's a course winner. But yeah, you'd want to be sure that he could settle. So, giving weight away as well. He's got the maximum penalty here, giving £3 and upwards to his rivals. I think I'd take him on.
So if you're going to take him on, which one would you be going with?
Got to be Neon Wolf for Harry Fry. 3 from 3, winner of a point. And then scoring on Rules Debut in a bumper at Utoxeter last month. And followed up with a comfortable win over Hurdles at Exeter. So he's progressing at a rate of knots. He's taking a big step up in class here, but I think he's up to it.
Okay, so Andrew is going with Neon Wolf, the unbeaten horse from the Fry team. I thought Cragganock was one who would go well here. Just had the two starts for Mark Walford. Easily disposed of Master of Finance at Weatherby. Comes from a yard who's not very vogue, but they do very well with the horses they have. And I thought Cragganock would run really well for the Walford team here at 7-8-1 tomorrow.
Yeah, they certainly instilled them with a lot of grit and determination, shall we say. What were you about to say there?
I was going to say he's 2 from 2 in cheek pieces now. And again, just looking at race forms, last time out speed figures, he comes out top just beating Elgin and Moayed.
Yeah, I think you'd have to throw him in. It's frustratingly, we've got 7 runners.
Yeah.
And he's sort of 7 or 8 to 1. So that's a bit of a kick in the teeth. Yeah, that Elgin race, that Kempton race was an odd one because obviously Jenkins ran like a crab. Ballyhill is a decent enough yardstick, but nothing to get too carried away with. And Elgin, as you said, was very keen and seemed to improve far the ground. So, as you said, I'd be slightly concerned about that. It was soft enough, I suppose, at Newcastle when he won. But yeah, it's going to take a bit of he's going to have to knuckle down, that's for sure. At Haydock, Neon Wolf beat nothing essentially at Exeter, but was well placed to do so. You know, just ease him into proceedings, and again he was well in command there, despite the fact that he only won by 3 lengths. The second has been beaten, but admittedly over at Exeter again behind another Harry Fry horse, so they'll be hoping that he stops running unexposed types against him. He's completely the unknown quantity, Neon Wolf. But he shapes like a thorough stayer. He's a 3-mile point-to-point winner and had no problem sluicing through the ground at Utoxeter. So I don't have a massive opinion on the race. If there was 8 runners, I'd be Cragganock each way. But I'd be slightly concerned about the conditions for Elgin.
So if I was pushing you for one, Roscoe?
I'd probably take I'd back Cragganock each way if there was 8 runners, so I'd have to stick with him.
So Cragganock for Ross, and Andrew's keen on Neon Wolf. The next race is the 240. It is the Champion Hurdle Trial, another grade 2. Absolute belting race. Just got the 6 runners, but couldn't rule out any of these tomorrow. And it looks like the betting will probably be headed by Lamy Serge, who doesn't win very often, but ran a cracking race, Ross, in the Rail Keel at Cheltenham, back over hurdles last time, and has got to go close in this company.
Yeah, well, I suppose he did win run a cracking race, but he should have won, really, yeah. Shouldn't he? So there's a slight concern to that. Interesting, they are dropping him back down in trip again. But he looks a frustrating type regardless of what he runs in. His last three wins have come at 1-6, 2-11, and 4-9 in races that, you know, he should have been winning easily. Whereas his last five defeats have all been a little bit disappointing, despite the fact that he travelled really well at Exeter, but made a couple of novice jumps over fences on that occasion, despite the fact that that was his sixth run over the bigger obstacles. He's not a horse that you're going to get excited about, I don't think, especially at 6-4. The new one, this has been a bit of a benefit for him the last couple of seasons. He's going for the hat-trick, of course. He was given a great ride at Cheltenham to beat My Tent or Yours, but him and My Tent or Yours then got in a ridiculous speed duel at Kempton and set it up for Yanworth. So I think Irving looks overpriced. And he never gets the credit he deserves, Irving. He goes very well after a break. He's had 56 days off the track, so he'll be fresh here. And obviously, you know, that win at Newcastle last time out was potentially fortunate, admittedly.
We've seen the form of that race has actually worked out with the potential winner falling, but it's gone on to win since.
Yeah, it bolted up at Fairy House, didn't it? So, again, I don't think he quite gets the credit he deserves, and he'll be overpriced, in my eyes.
Yeah. Well, you're not worried. Is the big thing here the weights, Andrew, why we're framed at the prices as they are? Because Lamy Serge is going to get £8 off both the Irving and the new one.
Yeah, I think that could be very much the case. I'm with Ross, though. I'm really keen on Irving. I was in the studio when this one won the Fighting Fifth in November, tipped him up that day. I just think, like Ross, that he's best when fresh. And yeah, since arriving in Britain, he's had seven runs, if you only count his first two runs each season. Six wins and a four when travelling really strongly.
Well, I think he would have definitely, that was the elite, wasn't it?
Wincanton, yeah. And so after his seasonal debut win, Connection said, that's a good team effort to get him back because he's had more problems than you can imagine. We couldn't even take him for a racecourse gallop, but have worked and worked and worked him. There was no plan after today, and he won't run for a while. I think he jumps better when he's fresh. So
they've given up all hope of sort of thinking champion hurdle and all that sort of thing. I think they're just going to pick and choose the races.
That's right, they're going to mop up some of these trial races. I mean, last year after he won the Fighting Fifth in November, his form tailed off because he was brought out relatively quickly. He went to Kempton on Boxing Day, pulled up, and then he was beaten at odds of 11-10 at Wincanton in February, and then pulled up at the Scottish champion hurdle. So I think the break is massively in his favour. He's been off for 8 weeks. He'll be nice and fresh. And although he is conceding weight to all bar the new one, I think he's the value in the race. Just a shame there's no eight runners for the each way here.
I'd still back him each way, I think, though. Given the fact that, you know, there's six runners and I don't fancy many of them.
I mean, the new one's won this race for the last 2 years, of course, but he hasn't been impressive
in either
occasion. And he sort of stopped the race half a mile out both times. You think he's going to get chinned. And he was odds on, 6-1 on in 2015 and 8-13 on last year.
Interesting to see how Klein goes as well, because we literally have no idea how good he is. Absolutely no idea.
Yeah, bidding for his fifth straight win. Those four wins coming in handicap company, latterly here.
Well, we didn't see him, did we? It was that race where we didn't see him.
Yeah, he just popped out in the end. But on official figures, he's 1-4-3. Got the likes of Irving, the new one, 160 and 163 respectively. And the guys who he's got to run off the same weight with, 149, 152 and 144. So barring Melodic Rendezvous, who's a pound better on the weights, if this was a handicap, you know, he'd be getting a lot of weight off all of these.
Oh, yeah, I'm too intrigued. But like I said, he got a really good figure beforehand, and I have no idea of his superiority last time out. I'm just fascinated to see how he goes, because it's an interesting move for them.
I backed the runner-up, the Nick Williams train La Roche, in that Haydock fogbound race, and I'm still angry that Lizzie Kelly didn't object.
Well, yeah.
I've taken my ground in the closing stages because nobody could see
it.
And the one
punched me in the face as he went by.
One horse we haven't mentioned is Sirius Darius, who was a very short price on his debut, but surely got a jump a lot better than he did.
Well, they've obviously decided that let's abandon that chasing angle for a while. But He's had a problem. Malcolm Jefferson must be. This is the thing with the Northern Yards, the Jeffersons and Unicky Richards. You just think, just let's get a run of things together. Yeah. Let's get a bit of momentum with a good horse, because that's what they seem to struggle to do.
So both of the boys with Irving then in the Champion Hurdle Trial. That's the 240. The last race to look at is the Peter Marsh Handicap Chase, limited handicap, Grade 2, of course, and probably the most interesting race going forward to Cheltenham, because we've got this very, very well-touted horse in Allery.
Have you heard the word for this as well? I know it's been well-touted.
No,
in general,
I'm not going to pop up on Twitter when and if it wins tomorrow with my 100-1 slips for the Gold Cup, no.
Right, OK. That's why have people done that, is that?
Well, will be doing that, no doubt, tomorrow, because that's what happens on Twitter. But
yeah.
It was just fascinating to see, after the horse that won the Hennessy for the Tizzards, that Colin Tizzard went out of his way to say, I might have one better than this at home, in the form of Allery.
Mm.
And Colin Tizzard is not a man to be bullish about his horses in any way. And yet, this one, he was...
Well, the other horse he's been bullish about is Finian's Oscar, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and we've already seen what he did in the Tolworth.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got first-time tongue tie on. As I said, 76, he's 76 days off the track. He's been beaten plenty of times in France, but as Andrew made the point on air earlier, he's been beaten in... You know, he runs regularly in top class races, so it's hard to really crab him on that respect.
Even his last run, second behind My Lord Thomas, that was a Grade 1, 3 mile 3 on soft. They'll be praying they get the rain there tomorrow, because, as you well know, Andrew, soft at O'Toy, they water it to be knee deep, basically, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. And don't look at French official going descriptions and assume they're the same as British ones or Irish ones, because. Soft at O'Toy can be good, so it's very different. So you'll never get them. You know, if you say that one on soft ground in France, if it's officially soft, it's more likely to be good. So the best thing to do is look at the race times.
And a lot of the horses who you think would appreciate soft ground, the French imports, actually better for a better going, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah, he's a very interesting runner, obviously. And
but because of all this hype and stuff, Ross. If you're fancying anything else in a race with the proven form here, you're going to get a price on him.
Well, he's second favourite, so definitely Red's top of the market. So he's not. They've not gone that crazy on him. Definitely Red's one of those horses you'd kill to own this horse, because you can run him in anything, and he performs with plenty of credit. Obviously, he was a very good bumper horse. He's a very good hurdler, and now he's a very good chaser. So. There's not many horses that seem to excel at every discipline, and he's one of those. He travelled beautifully through the race in the Royal Merrick last time out, and he won very easily indeed. And beating horses, you know, Black Lion's certainly no back number. Jarl Enki are coming to that off a demolition job over at Haydock, so the form looks rock solid. And I want a bit of experience, and I want a bit of consistency experience. I think Bristol Demire probably plough through too many. The other one that would interest me is Otago Trail, who, interesting move to run him over at Leopardstown last time out, but he's another one who can do a real demolition job in heavy ground from the front, which might well suit him round here. So Otago Trail and definitely Red would be the two for me.
For you, Andrew, I know you can pull out the stats on Allery, but I was reading somewhere again on Twitter that very few horses have won in a handicap of a mark of 162.
Yeah, especially first time in Britain after leaving France. Sometimes horses can take a year to acclimatise, so I wouldn't be rushing to back this one around about the 5-1 mark. The interesting ones, certainly the Venetia Williams pair, one of which Ross has mentioned, Otago Trail, and won the rehearsal chase before, pulled up in Ireland last time. Back in handicap company, has to be respected, particularly as Venetia Williams has had the winner of this recently. But I'm intrigued by Katenko, lower down the weights on 10-4, and Brian Hughes is a very interesting booking for Venetia Williams.
If any rides for Venetia.
Exactly, and this one hasn't been seen since falling in the Grand National last year, but was being talked of as a Gold Cup horse a year or two ago. And of course, ran in this race in 2014 behind Witchwood's Brook. And it was 3-1 favourite that day, but was only beaten by a couple of lengths. So, I think I'm going to chance Katenko after an absence.
So, Katenko for Andrew. And what looks like a vintage renewal of the Peter Marsh Handicap Chase. What we're going to do now is just bring you through the selections for each of the four races. The 1:30 at Haydock, then. Andrew, you like the look of Politolog?
That's right. I'm going with the favourite.
And Roscoe?
Yeah, I'm going to take a chance with waiting patiently.
So waiting patiently for Roscoe in the 130. The novices hurdle, the 205, is a grade 2. And Andrew, your selection here was?
Neon Wolf, currently the second favourite, but I'm going to stick my neck out and say that this one will start favourite.
So Neon Wolf for Andrew. Back him now, of course, you might nick a bit of value. And Roscoe?
Craganock.
Craganock for Ross, for Mark Walford and Jake Greenall. Then we got the champion hurdle trial, the 240. And both guys, you're both with Irving here, and quite bullish.
One every time he's been fresh when completing the course, 6 wins from 7. I think he can make it 7 from 8 on Saturday.
Agreed, he looks a big price.
Major betting heat of the day is, of course, the Peter Marsh Handicap Chase, limited handicap grade 2. All the talk is of Allery, but the two boys are looking away. Ross, you're with Definitely Red.
And Otago Trail, yeah, I'll take the 2.
And for you, Andrew?
I'm going to go with Kotenko, who's run about the 25-1 mark. So the last 5 years, we've had winners at 20-1 and 16-1 twice. So it could pay to take a chance on one at a big price.
So they're the two selections from the boys. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. And we'll be with you with Sunday's podcast tomorrow afternoon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.